is strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Welcome Tony, Christina, and Nick over there. The day before,
Nick.
Tomorrow's his last
the
day.
Countdown.
The countdown.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no.
No, we're not going to cry, okay?
I'm already crying.
Anyway,
that's just how it is.
So I'm running in, you know.
Yes.
You guys are going to help me out here because I'm working on this. We'll talk about this in a moment, but we're going to pray. We're not going to waste any time in prayer. And I just, here we got it here. Okay. So let's do that. Today's the feast of St. Matthew.
It's my father's patron saint.
That's right. Yeah, yes. That's right. That's my confirmation name, actually.
Oh, what is it?
Matthew, yeah. What's yours, Tony?
Paul.
Paul?
Yeah.
Christina?
Isabel, St. Elizabeth.
Isabel?
Yeah. In Spanish, Elizabeth is Isabel. Yeah.
Wow. Armin?
Raphael.
Oh, Raphael. Oh. Nice.
Oh. An angel. Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. Increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to great worthy human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting now in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Matthew, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. So
I thought you were going to add something.
Something Saint after St. Matthew.
St. Matthew? What did
the
I say?
Apostle or the evangelist? Or
So Matthew was...
I thought there was more.
Yeah, I was wondering why
the
all
silence.
Of a sudden he just kind of dozed off there.
We froze.
So he was, St. Matthew was a, what was his profession?
He was a tax collector. That's why he wasn't late.
he was a tax collector. And his gospel... was really directed primarily to the Jewish converts, or the Jewish who I don't know if we would use the word convert, because they were the Jews, because it would seem, and that was the frustration on the part of Jesus, is that the Messiah comes from the Jews. The whole of the sojourn of the Jewish people was this ongoing formation by God. Formation, correction, chastisement, to bring that, because it was from this people that the Messiah, the Christ, would come, the Savior. And so if they had, and that was the frustration of Jesus as he's speaking, because remember, he says, I come for the house of Israel. There was that instance where he, Was it the Canaanite woman? I don't remember if it was in that pericope that she wanted healing for her daughter. Was it for her daughter? I believe it was. We just had this in the scripture, and he says, you know, it's not right to throw the scraps of the table to the dogs, which was very. But he's I think we discussed this, didn't we?
We might have.
It was a very, what he was doing was he was beginning to bring the apostles to break out of their mindset, to broaden their vision beyond Israel, beyond Judaism, to encompass the whole world, to Catholicize. And so he's playing into this, into the mentality, because the people of the covenant, the old covenant, were purposely set apart by God, taken from among the people, formed into a nation, given all these laws. Again, you know, I talked to so many different things. So I was talking to somebody, so I forget, you know, what I... I don't make notes what I do on the radio.
Oh, you
and
talk
all
that. So many people.
So there's... but the there were all these 600-plus laws in Judaism, yeah, which were somewhat necessary because it was a way to really bind them together as a people, separate from others, and that they were not to be contaminated by the spirit of the world or the worship of other gods, but that he was, you know, God. And people have to understand this, you know, because if God seemed pretty harsh with the people, it's because he had to be, because they had to get it. Mm-hmm. If they didn't get it, nobody would get it. And so he had to, he separated them from others. But nonetheless, you know, certainly in the Old Testament, there is God's mercy is woven through the, so often people say, well, the Old Testament God is a vengeful God, a jealous God. Well, of course, he says he is a jealous God, but that he, you know, he chastises, he's vengeful. But you know, they seem to turn a blind eye to the emphasis on his mercy, mm-hmm, you know, through the whole of the Old Testament, but also that he does chastise, he does punish the people in order to awaken them to their identity in relation to God, because they've got to get it right. If they don't get it right, no one's going to get it right, because from them the Messiah would come. And Jesus, in the gospel, he does the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, the idea that, and God's greatest attribute is mercy, but Jesus wasn't soft. Mm-hmm. He was very hard. As God says of himself, I am a demanding God, and this is a very narrow path. And Jesus said, this is a very narrow path. It's very difficult for people to stay on this path, and it is a discipline, and we're bound to the commandments of God. And so Jesus was, because the God of the Old Testament is God incarnate in the Gospels. You can't separate the God of the Old Testament from the God of the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's the same God. Jesus is Yahweh incarnate.
And the people back then, what God used to, he was frustrated with them. He would call it the stiff neck. And we're no different.
I was going to say,
right? We're no different.
Do the same thing today.
I mean,
I was, in fact, he is. I ask people often, if God were looking into the world right now, if God were looking into our nation, what would he see? Because when we go to prayer, when I go to prayer, I ask to have the ability to see by God's grace, mm-hmm, to see through the eyes of Jesus, you know, to feel with the heart of Jesus, yeah, to think as he would think. What are his thoughts? What does he see? And don't you think that's what we should do in prayer? I mean, if I'm entrusted, yeah, with a task to guide the people, to lead the people in the person of Christ, and I need to know what, I need to be able, my thoughts have to be his thoughts. I have to see as he sees. And then it's the whole story of the watchman, right? Yeah. You know, the watchman, he has to proclaim what he sees. He's there he's looking to the horizon. He sees what's coming, or he looks, what's going on all around him. And really, and this will get into what I want to talk about a little bit today, but what does he see? What do you think he sees? As I talk to people, they seem to see what I see. You know, even if you're not praying, you just look around and you say something's radically wrong with the society.
Yeah.
Things have changed in a rather radical way, not in a good way. There's a radical, rapid trajectory away from God. But anyway, those 600 plus laws were given to form this people, to keep them separate. So in the gospel, when Jesus, when the Canaanite woman approaches him for healing, healing for her daughter, if I've got the story wrong, tell me, you know. But But Jesus says, you know, it's not right to throw the scraps of the table to the dogs. You know, that's really seems so offensive. But he was saying that with a view to the apostles, because she says even the dogs eat the scraps from the table. And Jesus says, woman, your faith has healed your daughter. Healed you or healed your daughter. It seems to me it was her daughter that she was interceding on behalf of her daughter. But he said that with a view to the apostles, who because he's beginning to break them out of a mindset that is a mindset that is with their eyes turned inward into the nation, into Judaism, that they've been chosen by God, taken from among the people. But now he's going to move them beyond themselves to go out to all the people. And so the frustration on the part of Jesus is that the Jews, the leadership, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests are not reading. They haven't read properly all that had been written, all that had been foretold, all that had been unfolding through their own sojourn. You know, because really with the fiat of Abraham, his obedience to God, we would say that the church was conceived, and the church is it's in its embryonic stage of development in the sojourn of the Israelites, the Jews, until the Annunciation, when Mary gives her consent, her fiat, her yes, and conceives by the Holy Spirit, and God incarnate is conceived in her womb, which really awakens Satan to this messianic time, his life, which would bring us to the messianic hour, the hour of our salvation, and we're now living in the messianic time. So that they're mandated to go to all the nations, to break out of Judaism, and so to the north, the south, the east, and the west, to preach repentance from sin, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, to preach metanoia, a change of heart, a turning toward God, revelation that God has come to us, has walked among us, and remains with us in the sacraments, in the Word of God, and to the extent that we allow the Lord to abide within us and reproduce His life in us, and then we become that sacrament that mediates God's grace in the world. So we're really in a time when we need to awaken to that reality that you know we're either going the way of the world, the spirit of the world, or are we living under the dominion of God, imbued with the Spirit of God? Is that, we'll take a break, but did I just miss the point that I was going to make?
No.
Okay.
No, it makes total sense, Father.
But how we get into that, I don't know. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and I'm just wrestling with, I say wrestling because I'm working on a program with regards to the school and the necessity of the school, and that we all have a share in safeguarding the lives of our children, because they're most definitely the victims of a radical secularized society. So we'll be right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Laugh, you make me laugh. You make me laugh. You make me laugh, 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 laugh. You make me laugh.
Well, that's the whole point.
You've got to be joking.
No, it's about laughing and joking and having a great time. Join us for a night of laughter at St. Stan's Back-to-School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th. Door opens at 6 p.m., showtime 7 p.m. Admission is just $30 per person with a cash bar, music, and you must be 21 or over.
Are you serious?
Well, of course. The St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show features the comedy of Jody Baez, Jeannie Dogan, and Alicia Molina. St. Stan's is located at 1255 North Noble. That's two blocks north of Division. On Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. A St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our web-based archive. Familiarity with Adobe Audition is desirable. Also have knowledge of the teachings of the Catholic faith. The Winds of Change studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Interested parties may submit resumes to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Father Anthony here again with Tony Roy.
Tony, I told you.
Tony Roy, Paul.
All law enforcement.
Christina.
Don't listen.
Tony Roy.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, I think you should be very proud of that. You know, it's for the life of me, I don't know why they didn't baptize you Anthony.
Yeah, it's always been Tony.
Tony Roy.
Tony Paul.
Tony Paul. So, well, Paul is a.
But I took it. I took it for
after Roy Rogers.
No,
who's Roy Rogers?
As a baby, Father, I had no control over that.
You had no
Paul. I took Paul.
You took Paul as a for your confirmation.
Who's Roy Rogers, Father?
You know who Roy Rogers is. Can we
talk about something more important?
Who's friend?
He's a Roy Rogers was a cowboy.
Yeah, with the
that's
trigger.
That's before my time. You're forgetting.
Flicker?
Major figure in the 50s.
In the
1950s. That's before my time.
Oh, that's kind of before my time, too. You know, so. Anyway. Okay.
What's the cardinal sin I always break?
We don't confess the cardinal sin.
No. This is the thing. You never tell Father anything in confidence, because he'll
put, it has to be.
You didn't tell me that in confidence.
Well, that wasn't in confidence.
You can trust me. Under
the confidence. What is it under the What is it under the?
Under the seal of confession.
Right.
Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. I forgot about
Dale
her.
Evans. Yeah.
Thank you, Nick. That's why we're going to miss Nick, because he keeps us in on all these things.
Yeah, we're going to miss Nick.
Yeah,
I miss he says Nick even already. I know Roy Rogers, and he's a young guy. Anyway. Why I take offense to that I break confidence?
It's not so much that. It's like anything, I said that wrong. Anything we talk about, like in a break or outside, it's the first thing you bring.
Outside of confession? Yeah,
if I think it's important for people to know, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it's important for people to know.
Because
inquiring minds want to know.
You got to understand, God names you and blesses you.
Yeah.
And if you were given the name Tony Roy, and you took
I
Paul.
Totally deserve this.
Yeah. And so, anyway, well, I mean, we've only have maybe five people who listen to the radio, so don't worry.
There's going to be people.
There, so,
anyway. I was going to not tell you, and then have you. The only way you'd find out is if you talk to Angelica, and I'm sure people would be going up there. So, what's his middle name? What's his middle?
You know, Tony, I have to make a confession that I was going to ask Angelica. I was going to go around and ask Angelica.
And I know it.
Christina, what's your middle name?
I don't have a middle name.
Why is it?
And that's what I said. Some people don't.
No, my name is enough. It's Christina.
I wish I would have said that.
And the only reason I say that is because my dad named it Christina because it has the name of Christ in it.
Christ.
That's
wow. I always think of that.
Yeah, but why is it that in the Mexican community, or I don't know if it's
all
the Latin American. No. They do. You know, because it's like Christina de Carrasco, de Sánchez, de Rios.
See, in Mexico, they use the two last names. the mother and the paternal and the maternal last name.
So is that why they don't have a middle name? Unless your name
Oh, they do have middle name. My older brother, his name is Francisco Xavier.
Oh, that's nice.
Francisco Javier, but we call him Javier.
Well, but so if it's a saint's name, that would be, and like Maria.
Maria de Los Angeles,
Maria Victoria. Maria de Victoria. All the Marias over
all
there.
The Maria, they're all sisters. They're all Maria of...
So there's this little joke, you know, and we're going to get into something serious over here, but it's okay to a little levity is important sometimes.
You need it.
You know, it's pretty heavy over here. Not here in the studio, but
not with Roy. Just,
not with Roy.
Not with Roy over here.
But the there's a West Side Story. If you ever saw the movie,
yes.
There's a scene in the movie. It's about the Puerto Ricans in New York, right? And Tony is the Tony.
The best,
wasn't he? Yeah, Tony.
Tony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tony.
That was my movie.
Hey, somebody asked me if I was Italian about a week ago.
Hmm.
I said, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Your mom has Italian.
Well, her grandmother was Italian.
Italian.
Yeah. So that puts, you know.
Yes.
It makes me a Polish, Italian, American, Scottish, English, whatever. I'm just an American.
I always fess up to Eddie whenever somebody tells me, oh, are you this? Yeah, yeah.
What's that?
I always fess up to.
Armin's Italian.
Yeah. Oh, Armin is Italian.
Italian-Polish.
Italian-Polish,
yeah.
A good
combination, you know. What would you say? What were you?
No, I always fess up to, like, if somebody says, oh,
are you cute? What do you mean you fess up?
You know what I mean? When somebody says, are you cute?
What does that mean, fess up? Fess is that up? Even a word?
Yeah, I fess up.
That's neighborhood.
You don't know that.
I know, I'm just joking. Yeah.
Somebody says, well, what nationality are you? And I always say, I say nothing. And they say, well, might say Italian, or they'll say, a lot of people think I'm Cuban. And I always say yes. I fess up. I say yes. That's
no, you're
I mean.
From Jalisco.
Or from Jalisco.
Oh, Jalisco. Well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to say, I don't think there's a Roy in the calendar of the saints.
And then when they hear that, it's like, oh, no, you can't be.
Is Roy, anyway, whatever, we'll just leave it
know.
Be. I don't know if that's a short name for a bigger name or whatever.
No, it doesn't seem to be a longer name. I just don't know what my parents were thinking.
Yeah, well, they Roy. Weren't thinking, that's the thing.
Obviously.
Perhaps. Well, anyway, so going back to the story that I was going to tell before I was interrupted,
right.
You know, about the West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony... the principal character, and I forgot the Maria.
Of
course. This
Maria.
Is a part of the story.
Yeah.
Maria.
So, you know, so it's Tony and Maria, and there's a scene in the movie or in the play, I suppose it's in both, and this is the joke, you know. So all Maria's with all her girlfriends. They're on a in an alley on the stairs, right? The stairs that we have here in Chicago that, what do they call that? The stairwell on the back of the building.
Those emergency stairs or the fire stairs or whatever.
Wooden, but, there's the back stairs. They go all, you know. So,
right.
But
fire escape.
The fire escape stairs?
Yeah, so they're all up, they're all on the stairs, right? She was with all her girlfriends. Uh-huh. And he's coming down the alley and he yells out, hey, Maria, and all of them turn around. Hey, they all turn around because
they're
all Marias, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. I always Maria. We have parishioners, and there's like maybe five or six girls, sisters.
Oh, the sisters.
And they're all Marias. Maria
Concepcion.
Socorro, Maria Concepcion. Maria Socorro. Maria Victoria. Maria
de Los Angeles.
De Los Angeles. Just all, you know. So, anyway. All right. Let's get down to something a little bit more serious. But you know, names are beautiful.
Yeah.
Unless you're named
And people
Roy.
Automatically think because I'm Mexican-American or my parents
Maria.
Are Mexican, they think I'm either Maria or Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
Which they're beautiful names. It's their Blessed Mother. But I'm like, no, I'm
Cristina. That's all that matters.
Cristina.
But I do spell my name without an H. Cristina, in English, is with an H. Mine is the Spanish way,
in
without an H.
Respect to our
H.
Lord and Savior.
I remember years ago, we were, speaking of Guadalupe, we were praying. This is way back when. And one of the parishioners was going through a difficult pregnancy. And so we were praying. And she wanted to make the novena to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so she made the novena, and she wanted to make the full novena, the mm-hmm. full 9 days. And she finished the ninth day, and which was the day, would be the 11th of December, went home and gave birth right after midnight wow. on the feast of Our Lady Guadalupe. And so, of course, she named her daughter yeah. Guadalupe. Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful.
It is. It really was very beautiful. Anyway, so, you know, we're going to be hearing in the Gospels, Jesus, this is, I'm kind of living ahead of myself, but I was really working on this today for a reason. So I want to kind of unpack this a little bit. But Jesus, you know, he assures us mm-hmm. that it doesn't matter at what hour of the day or at what stage of our life journey, he wants to bestow generously his life into ours, that we in turn plant and cultivate the seed of his life in others. Mm-hmm. By the way, so let me just pause, because it just occurred to me. So he assures us it doesn't matter at what hour of the day or at what stage of our life. So yesterday I had Mass in the morning in a nursing home, mm-hmm. and I baptized a man who was 79 years old.
Wow.
Baptized, and he received his confirmation and Holy Communion. So he was fully brought into the church. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Wow.
It was really, really nice.
Wow.
79.
It's never too late.
Never too late. And he requested all this, and he was prepared, and I went, and it was beautiful. And it was just—I used to do this a lot, have home masses in nursing homes when I was an associate before I became a pastor. You know, like especially on Christmas or on Easter and the major holy days or holy days mm-hmm. In the liturgical year, and it was always a very rewarding. Experience. I hadn't done it in so long, and my time is, in fact, if I tell you what I did yesterday, it was just on the hour. It was just something going on the hour. Went to bed late, and then I woke up really tired, and then I've been working on this because this is coming out of a meeting we had yesterday. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, he says it doesn't matter what hour of the day or what stage of our life journey, he wishes to bestow generously his life into ours, that we in turn plant and cultivate the seed of his life in others. We're also going to have the parable the week after, because I think this that I'm speaking about is already for this Sunday, which we might talk about tomorrow, the readings for that this coming Sunday. But I'm already ahead of myself looking at the next Sunday, mm-hmm. and we've got the parable of the two brothers who are told to go out and work the vineyard. One said he would go, but he did not go. The other said he would not go, but later changed his mind and went. The second son did the father's will. The first did not. And I asked this question, and I was asking you guys, who are the most vulnerable among us? To whom do we need to plant and cultivate the seeds of our Lord's life? Because, again, remember, Jesus assures us it doesn't matter what hour of the day or what stage of our life journey, it's his will, it's his wish to bestow generously his life into ours, and that we in turn plant and cultivate the seed of his life in others. So who are the most vulnerable among us, and to whom do we need to plant and cultivate the seeds of our Lord's life?
The children.
Well, it's kind of a no-brainer,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Who among us are the most mm-hmm. deeply affected in an adverse and wounding way by the radical secularization of the culture, a culture that is not only Christophobic, but whose hostility to Christ and his mystical body, the church, are loudly shouted into the public square? I almost get tired of saying that because... would you agree with me that that's the case?
Yeah, yes. But it is interesting, too. When you're thinking about implanting the good seeds in children, you almost have to look at the world today and see how the adversary, the devil, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. doing the same thing. And dare I say, I think better than we are, as in the good people trying to do what's best for their kids.
This is exactly the point that I wanted to.
It is so evident, and I wonder, I'm sure there's people out there that do not see it, and that is beyond
scary. That's
what's
most frightening. So this is the really kind of the what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. So our children are, as you've said, our children are the real victims of an increasingly godless society, leaving their souls barren and overridden with briars and thorns to rob them of their true identity as created in the image and likeness of God, created by God and for God. So when prayer is abandoned and the commandments of God replaced with ideologies that toy with the child's spiritual, moral, and psychosexual formation, the child is deformed, and his or her character then feeds the disorder prevalent in a society whose civility is in free fall. Would you agree with me?
Beautifully said.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because I keep thinking, you want to see through the eyes of God. What is God seeing? What do we see? I could just tell you in dealing with people.
It's a different show if you start going down that road.
Right.
Yeah.
So we can't waste any time. The point is we cannot waste any time going into the vineyard and cultivating the ravaged soil to salvage the seed of God's life planted in the lives of our children and young people. Their innocence and their identity is created by God and for God must be safeguarded to bring hope for the future of our civilization and the salvation of their souls and ours, right? Because if we're not doing our part, you know, if we neglect the children, I mean, Jesus, the strongest words he speaks in the gospel are spoken in defense of children. If you toy with their innocence, if you rob them of their innocence, better than a millstone be put around your neck, and you be thrown into the sea and drowned. And it's not just that he's speaking about the children, but even to toy with the innocence of his followers, because there's an innocence. I think much of adulthood is trying to regain the innocence of our childhood, but in this day and time, that innocence is being robbed of these children. So where do we go? What do we do? You know, that's a question. Mm-hmm. Where do we go? Where do we begin? And what do we do? I'll let you kind of ponder that. Think about that. What do we do? Where do we go? Where do we begin? And take a break. We'll come back and try to answer the question. You have one answer to the question. Maybe you've got other answers. Where do we begin? What do we do for our children? All right. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. I feel like when I say that, I'm saying goodbye. We'll just take a break. I'm Father Anthony. I'm Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. A little confused here.
You make me laugh. You make me laugh, you make me laugh, 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 you make me laugh.
Well, that's the whole point.
You've got to be joking.
No, it's about laughing and joking and having a great time. Join us for a night of laughter at St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th. Door opens at 6 p.m., showtime 7 p.m. Admission is just $30 per person with a cash bar, music, and you must be 21 or over.
Are you serious?
Well, of course. The St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show features the comedy of Jody Baez, Jeannie Dogan, and Alicia Molina. St. Stan's is located at 1255 North Noble. That's two blocks north of Division. On Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. A St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th.
We are the students of St. Stan's Lacosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more. providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony with Roy and Christina.
Oh, God. Roy.
I'm sorry, I
will let that go. I don't want to be.
No, please. That's what I'm with you. No, it's not hurting my feelings.
Just man up, you know, Roy. Just don't worry
about
it.
Exactly.
So, with regards to the children, our children are the real victims of an increasingly godless society, leaving their souls barren and overridden with briars and thorns to rob them of their true identity as created in the image and likeness of God, created by God and for God. And as I say, when we pray, when prayer is abandoned, because I went to public school, mm-hmm. and when I was in the public school, we were taught the commandments, we prayed, we began the day with prayer, we prayed before we went to lunch. I remember the prayer, I don't remember how it goes, but it was Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, it was a prayer.
It was a prayer?
Yeah.
Huh.
Who is Johnny Appleseed?
I don't know who was Johnny.
All right, it seems like that was a part of the prayer.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Did he go to that school?
What's that? No.
Did he go?
No, but it was the name
Johnny
of the prayer.
Appleseed, yeah.
Johnny Appleseed. Do you remember that? You have to look
I
that
don't
up.
Remember the prayer, but I...
Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny, look it up and see. But anyway, the and then we were certainly because we had the commandments, we had morality, we had...
I don't understand why that today could not still be done.
It's a diabolical disorientation. Yeah. It's a, you know, you want to abandon God, abandon the commandments of God. What's replaced the absence of God and the absence of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
And that's why I say, you know, what do we do? Where do we begin? Against the broader challenges we face, I'm proposing to our people, certainly here, we can only begin right here at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? Well, we begin with St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. But I think of how many don't have that kind of funds.
Well, so this is what we do. It's imperative that we do something to save our children from this diabolical disorientation that leads many into depression and despair. The solution is to correcting the wrongs being done and the afflictions being endured is within our reach. If we begin, you know, we have to begin at home. And so what do we do? Number one, we pray, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to this is the program that I'm proposing here and at St. Stan's, but even as you're out there listening, you know, I'm asking, please, you know, I'm asking, because the school, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, will be 150 years old in February.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think about it, in its day, at the turn of the century, from the 19th into the 20th, there were 4,000 students,
wow.
70 religious sisters, school sisters in Notre Dame, taught in the school. The school was massive. It went beyond the expressway. There was no expressway at the time. It was railroad tracks. They were on the other side. And then when they brought the expressway in, of course, the railroad tracks were taken. It was railroad tracks. I see pictures of it. Old pictures. But when they brought the expressway in, they wanted to take the church and the school down, demolish them. But the people fought, and so the church was saved, but the expressway curves around the church. But they did have to take part. The school was so massive, so big, that they took part of it down for the expressway. And then, of course, the school, and then eventually it was completely demolished. It was a grade mm-hmm. school. And they built, before that, they built the high school, which is now our grade school. It was connected to the old school. Did you go to the old school?
I went to the old school.
You did?
Yes. I think 1 year.
Oh.
Right before they demolished it.
It was massive, wasn't it?
It was. I remember to this day.
And the sisters lived up there, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking, Father, there's no sisters teaching in our school
no,
now?
No.
Yeah, that just hit me right now because that's when I was there, there was at least you can count on the sisters. I had good teachers,
Because they had the convent
too.
Upstairs
yeah.
at one point.
Even then they moved over to because the upper floors of the high school became the convent. So when I came here, well, even when I came here when you would have been in school, I worked as a janitor, I painted the many of those rooms in the convent.
Oh.
And I did a lot of, I did.
Is that why the sisters left?
No. Truth to be told, they left when I became pastor.
Oh.
So they were I was an associate for six years, had mass in the morning for them. I'd have to go over there and up the elevator up to the fourth floor, and I had mass for them. And then that was for 6 years. I would have mass. Father Joe Glad would have mass one day or 1 week. I don't know how we did that, but how we worked it out. But either I did a full week, then he did a full week or whatever. And that was before they went to school. Many of them were retired.
Retired,
there. Yeah. But there were a few. Sister Lupita lived up
Sister
there.
Sister Lupita.
A couple of others. But the...
The chapel's still up there.
That's where Radio Maria is.
Radio Maria. Yeah. They still hold mass. They still celebrate masses.
They still have mass up there.
Yes.
But the... but in any case, there were 4,000 students, 70 sisters. At the turn of the century, it was one of the largest schools in the country, in the nation, perhaps one of the largest Catholic schools in the world, because the parish was, people-wise, not the size. It's a big parish, but the church. But there were masses going on simultaneously upstairs and downstairs. They had a chapel in the lower. You probably had mass in the lower church when you were a student.
The children's mass?
That's why I still love that. I love that bottom.
The lower church.
Yeah, lower church. I love.
Yeah.
I can just sit there.
Right.
Do you remember the grotto?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Say Roy.
I do.
So anyway, so what I'm proposing.
It's good to have friends.
It is good. Is number one, pray. We really got to pray. Since this is our 150th year in February. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to implore and solicit 150 people to pray, to promise a rosary and or an hour of adoration a week for the sole purpose of preserving the Catholic identity of our school and securing funds that children may attend our school.
Sign me up.
Children whose families do not have the means to fully finance their sons and daughters' education in our Catholic school. So that's going to be the first thing I want to do. I'm going to start that in October, October 1st. In imploring and soliciting 150 people in honor of 150 years to pray a rosary and or an hour of adoration a week for the purpose of preserving the Catholic identity of our school and securing funds that children may attend our school. So it makes no difference if you're out there in Radio Land and you've never even seen the parish, you've never seen the school. I'm asking you. Please, just dedicate one rosary a week and or adoration, hour of adoration on behalf of our children, on behalf of the school. The second thing is that we sacrifice our treasure. What does that mean? We need funding. We share a collective responsibility to underwrite our school for the good of our children. So I'm going to reach out to those who have the means to assist in getting children and young people into a holy and healthy environment where their formation is in keeping with their true identity as created in the image and likeness of God. We provide the soil and the laborers. Help us plant the seeds, namely the children and young people. They're the seeds. Does that make sense?
It's
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, we're going to, we really need people to come forward and to make the sacrifice. You know, you think about, this is a third. Let me just go right into, and the third is we've got to convince parents. We've got to convince parents. I mean, the world is drastically changing, and the trajectory is away from God and away from the work ethic of cultivating faith, virtue, and valor so necessary for the well-being of a civilized people. Our salvation and that of our children is at stake if we ignore our responsibilities to form our children in the faith of the church. This is a mandate and mission entrusted to us by Jesus. And parents must today see to it that their children are not indoctrinated by the spirit of the world, but rather imbued with the Spirit of God. Outside the home, the Catholic school, this Catholic school, is the only place where this formation will happen. I'm not saying only this Catholic school, but I'm saying we have to begin where we are. Start here. And so outside the home, I mean, really, where else? But outside, where the home is the domestic church. That's where the seeds of the faith are cultivated. And so it begs the question, again, this is why we have to convince parents to take responsibility for their children. You know, are families praying in the home? Are we teaching the commandments? Are we teaching our children, you know, what it is to be reconciled, what it is to forgive? You know, St. Paul said, you know, never let the sun go down on your anger. And so at the end of the day, you know, if you've hurt anybody, if anybody's added to the disorder in the home or they've hurt one another, whatever, you know, before you go to bed, you know, say you're sorry. Humble yourself, because you don't want to deprive anybody a night of peaceful rest. If you can't sleep peacefully in your own home, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go, right? But again, if parents aren't practicing the faith, if they're not bringing their children to Mass, if they're not, you know, it used to be, you know, and I really, we got to talk to this, to our people, you know, signs and symbols. When you go into a Catholic home, you know, that there be, that you see the crucifix, or you see an image, an icon or a statue of Our Lady, or maybe the family has a patron saint. That'd be a good thing to do, is to put our family under the patronage of St. Joseph or St. Michael. You know, the family, the home is the domestic church. But it used to be, you know, in the old days too, everybody had a holy water font, and so when you would leave your home, when you'd enter your home, you'd that's why you had the water, the holy water in the church. We still have it, and most churches do, where you come and you fill your little bottle up with the holy water, and you put it in the holy water font, just as you come in the church. When you come in the church, there's a holy water font, and you mark yourself with the holy water. Because you're coming out of the world, out of the battle, into sacred space. And it's a reminder that we have been baptized, that we're members of the mystical body, and we're coming into sacred space, a refuge from the battle of life, where we're beaten up and where we're wounded. You know, life is a wounding experience. And we forget, because we're also distracted. And so we come into our church, we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross, and when we with the holy water, and as we leave the church, we do the same thing, because we're going back into the battle, back into the mission, to fight the good fight and to give witness, to give testimony against all odds. And so but the homes used to have those, and some homes still do, you know, because you can still buy the holy water font, the little I guess you call it the font. It's a
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah.
So
you just do, and you put the holy water there, and then you mark yourself with the sign of the cross as you leave and as you return home.
Yes.
So, but the home is the domestic church where the seeds of faith have to be cultivated. But we're here to participate, to support the children. Parents have to see that their children are not indoctrinated by the spirit of the world, but rather imbued with the Spirit of God. And so outside the home, the Catholic school is the only place where this formation will happen. If the Catholic school is true to its identity, true to that's the priority, is the nurturing and the formation of the faith. And that really does. If God is the foundation in the center, and we're teaching and witnessing the faith, it's going to affect the entire curriculum. So as I said, you know, the St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy provides the soil. Parents provide the seeds, namely their children, that those seeds are cultivated in the richness of all the Lord has handed on to us, which we have the responsibility of handing on to others. And there's been a horrible void in this. There's been we've acted so irresponsibly in this regard. And it's because we're really up against the world. We have to know where the enemy is. We have to know what we're up against and counter the... Well, that's... the bottom line is, and this is how I would conclude this today. So this program, to turn our attention to the school, is in an endeavor in which we will all have a share. Perhaps we've been like the son in the parable who said he would follow the order of his father to go out and work the field, but he didn't go, right? In any case, let us be like the son who initially refused to go, but awakens to the need to fulfill his father's mandate and gets into the work. Whatever the case may be, there is no time to waste. This is the appointed time and the appointed hour to counter a Luciferian revolution. Luciferian revolution, this diabolical revolution which is robbing our children of their noble identity as children of God entrusted to our care. What are we doing for the children? So it has to be a priority, don't you think?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It has to be a priority in this day and this time, always. Yeah, should we just keep going or we'll just keep going, we'll finish up. When you think of the old days, and I remember, Christine, did you remember Anne, the Lady in Blue?
I remember, yes. She wore a veil, and she wore the blue, like a trench coat or something. She always wore blue.
She always wore blue. We called her the Lady in Blue. When she died many, many years ago. But when I came here, she would be, at that time, there was only one morning mass. There was no evening mass. It was just a morning mass. And there was the Lady in Blue and Raimundo Diaz. Do you remember?
I remember him.
Señor Diaz. They were the only two that were at mass in the morning in the church. So we'd have mass for the nuns in the convent and come back and have mass. So I would do one of the masses and then Father Joe would do the other. But at that morning mass, it was Anne who came every day, all dressed in blue. She lit a blue candle by Our Lady of Lourdes. And so when she died, I promised that we would, because you lit the candle every day. She always brought a blue candle, vigil light. Mm-hmm. Or she would purchase the vigil light. We had the
blue glass.
The receptacle.
Yes, that's right.
And so I promised her family that we would continue lighting that, making sure that there was always a blue light, blue candle, vigil light at Our Lady. So it's at Our Lady of Częstochowa. But the point I bring her up because they didn't have a car in order that they could send their children to the Catholic school.
Wow.
And people made those kind of sacrifices.
That's right.
Because it was a priority for them to have their children educated and formed in the Catholic school. And so she would tell me that they never had a car. Because they didn't, they would forego the car, so they wouldn't have that expense. So that expense could then be directed to the education of their children in the Catholic school. People made all kinds of sacrifices because that was a priority. That was a priority. Today, there are many who want to come into the Catholic school, but they just simply cannot afford it. So, anyway, you guys, any final comments? We're just right at the end of the show.
Well, like you were saying, Father, my parents also, they sacrificed so much for us we graduated from St. Stanislaus.
Yeah, your mother had that old car that she used to drive around. Remember
the beat-up car? The same thing.
Right.
We used to say that it went through a drive-by.
Yep,
but
absolutely.
Sacrifice.
Loving sacrifice for the sake of our children. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace. Ciao.
What's there to say? Makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say?